yes, the sweet sounds of the NFL. To get us ready for Steelers and Cowboys on this Friday tailgate brought to you by Galise Services. We do a segment on Fridays. It's called Remember a Guy. We know that football fans love to get together over beers, pizza, or just hanging out, and they start rattling off names of guys they remembered, loved to watch, maybe as kids, teenagers, in college, whatever. Can do that all the time. Mulsey, would you like to just name a random Steeler right now?
Yeah, sure.
Pop Ernie, in your head.
Yeah, Ernie Mills.
You know why that's perfect?
Why?
I think he played for the Steelers and Cowboys.
He played for the Steelers in Super Bowl 30. No, he had a big catch on the Steelers' first touchdown drive of the game.
Here's one who played for the Steelers and Cowboys. Totally random, remember a guy. Felix Jones.
Oh, dude, I barely remember the Felix Jones era. Felix Jones from?
Arkansas.
He was McFadden.
McFadden.
Run DMC.
Darren McFadden. He was a beast in college.
Boy. Jerry Jones was an Arkansas
Holy
guy,
cow.
Too. He
Pink
liked drafting. Yeah, he liked drafting those Arkansas guys.
So, remember a guy. And we had to find somebody for this Steelers-Cowboys meeting on Sunday night. So, no one better than our next guest. He was a part of that Steel Curtain defense that beat the Cowboys in Super Bowl 13. Also was a part of the team that beat them in Super Bowl 10. And started on the team that won Super Bowl 14. So he's a three-time Super Bowl champ. Also, longtime coach was at Robert Morris, and just an overall good guy and just a great personality and perfect guy to talk to today with this Steelers-Cowboys game looming. I'm talking about the great John Banaszak back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Hello, John, Andrew Filipponi, and Chris Muller. What are you up to today?
Andrew and Chris, I just got off the golf course, dude.
Oh!
That's the last time I saw you guys.
How'd you play?
Was at Montour.
Yes.
I played good enough to win a couple of shekels, but not very good.
Good enough to win money is always the best answer, though, when you're walking off the course.
Right. Yeah, you bet. Counting that money from your opponent is very important.
John, when you think Dallas Cowboys, what are the first couple things that pop into your head?
First thing that pops into my head is that we used to love playing the Cowboys.
Why is that?
Why? Because they were so, I'm going to use the word cocky, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything was America's team, all right? And these guys were, you know, hand-picked soldiers of nothing, okay? And we just loved playing them. We even played them in the preseason every year back then.
Interesting.
And they would beat us in the preseason. And then we'd come back and beat them. In two Super Bowls, and the year after, we beat them in 78.
No, that's right. That's right, John. I always wonder when we have some. It's amazing. So many of the people we have on the segment say, I can tell you what happened in a game 45 years ago, but I can't tell you what I had for breakfast. So you're right. In 79, the year after you beat them in the Super Bowl, they came back here in October, so almost to the day in October, and you guys beat them 14-3 at Three Rivers. What do you remember about that game?
I remember, it was a third down situation. Staubach was in the shotgun, okay? Gary Dunn and I are on the right side of the defensive line. We both made really good moves to get to the quarterback. And Staubach, being the competitor he was, he ducked me, but I grabbed his foot and got his shoe, okay?
Okay.
And then he scrambled for about 5 yards, and L.C. Greenwood lit him up. It was a helmet-to-helmet shot, okay, about 2 feet off the ground, and Staubach was out cold. He fumbled the ball. I recovered the ball. Okay, and Staubach was out of the game. I mean, he was, and that was his last year he played. Too.
Yeah. Now, did you give him his shoe back?
I gave him no. I picked it up and threw it to the sideline. But yeah, it is. One of my favorite plays of all time.
John, I was.
If he would have let me sack him, okay, he wouldn't have got hurt.
Good point.
True. He should have just gone down the when you had, you know. Yeah, that's right. Competitiveness.
Play another day.
Competitiveness got the best of him. John, I'm wondering this about the Cowboys. You love playing them. You said you'd get those guys when it counted. You'd beat them in the games that mattered the most. But I always think when it comes to like great rivalries, sort of familiarity breeds contempt. A team you're seeing every year twice because they're in your division.
Yeah.
Did you feel like those guys were true rivals or just a team you always kind of knew was lurking and possibly going to see you in a Super Bowl? How did you view them in that sense?
I mean, for sure we were, you know, obviously. And then the following year, the Rams beat them in the playoffs.
Yes.
Okay, so we could have seen them again. And that would have, it would not have mattered. We would have beat them again. There's no question about it. Okay. And so it was, I don't know. We just didn't like the Cowboys. We didn't like the publicity they got. We didn't like, you know, the whole
setup. Was it all of them? Were there guys you actually respected on that team because they didn't, they weren't like the, you know, some of the players?
Question.
No, I would say no. I don't think they really respected us. Okay,
well, look at that Hollywood Henderson stuff.
They probably should have because they kept coming out of the wrong end of the scoreboard, John. They should have respected the team that was beating them.
Absolutely, Hollywood Henderson, no question about it. And then in the Super Bowl, he and Franco got face to face.
Yep.
Okay, in the third quarter, and then all we did was give the ball to Franco. Okay, and he runs in for like a 45-yard touchdown because he was upset about Hollywood Henderson. So,
what a time to be alive! Yeah, I agree, John. Now, how closely are you following this year's Steelers? What do you make of this current collection of Steelers, John?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm a fan, and I watch them. I think, you know, that they've got some things that are headed in the right direction. They're still a little bit difficult to watch, okay, and see mistakes that they make that cost them yardage and field position and all that stuff that's important in winning football. So they got to polish things up, and what a perfect game on Sunday night to polish things up and have the Cowboys in town and rooting against the Crybabies.
Yes,
I
like that.
Hey, John, I wanted to know, so you said there's some mistakes. Obviously, they got to polish up. I think Andrew and I both agree, but we didn't expect, you know, when this was the off season to see Justin Fields start the first four games of the season.
Yeah,
I'm sure you know he had a tumultuous time in Chicago, and that's why they moved on. Your impressions of him specifically through four games here with his new team?
I've seen him progress. I really have, you know, watched him. He's a threat. He's a dual threat. He can throw the ball very well, and he can run. And, you know, I don't want to hold back on that running because that's his style. And, you know, just I'd like to see him run out of bounds a little quicker. But
He likes to take on those defenders because he is a big man. That guy's every bit of 6'3", 230 or so.
Sure, for sure, yeah. He didn't do very well in Chicago. And so, obviously, he comes into Pittsburgh with that kind of past performance. But you know what? He showed himself very well first four ball games of the year.
John, before we let you run, I don't know if you saw this, but they the senior committee that votes on the Hall of Fame, they have LC Greenwood on a list to potentially go in this year, long overdue. If somebody from Canton called John Banaszek and said, "Hey, Banny, we want to ask you about LC Greenwood, your old teammate. Can you make a sales pitch for him and the Hall of Fame?" What would you say?
I would tell him, I would say an awful lot about his ability to play the game like no other defensive end could play the game. Okay, when I made that team in 1975, George Perlis told me, he said, "Whatever you do, do not watch LC Greenwood because you cannot play the game like he plays the game." he had the ability to get so skinny that offensive linemen would absolutely miss him completely with their, you know, with their technique of punch. And he was such a smooth defensive end that you've ever seen. And he, you know, what he did to Fran Tarkenton in Super Bowl IX should put him in the Hall of Fame without any question. Okay, what he did the following year against Staubach, okay, was just a follow-up from the year before. And then he had in 13 and 14 where he had great ball games. I don't know if there's, well, with the exception of Reggie White, okay, I don't think there's a better defensive end than I've ever seen play the game.
Wow.
That's a pretty strong endorsement.
Hey,
right,
Manny,
there.
Enjoy watching the Steelers beat the Cowboys Sunday night, and thanks for coming on with us today.
Fellas, thanks for having me. I really enjoy it, and I hope they come out. Oh, I know they're going to come out with a win.
Thanks,
Manny.
There you go.
Right.
John Banaszak from the Super Steelers.
I'm glad to hear him sounding just so ebullient and so energetic. And I mean, how could you not be energetic when you have come off the 18th green, perhaps proceeded to the 19th hole for a sandwich and counted your friend's money? That is one of the great feelings in low competitive sports.
Tough act to follow, but here's our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Uh-oh. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Oh, hello, right, Jeff.
I was not expecting you to go to me.
You're on a landline again, I can tell.
I hear a landline.
I hear landline city.
Yes.
But that's elite caller behavior. We say that because we're admiring it.
I like when Jeff cheats on work with us.
Well, like I said, nobody in my department really listens to the show. There are people at work
that do.
Well,
that's not good. Why don't you try to convert them, Jeff?
Just my department. I know that for a fact. But there are people at work at large that are fans of the show.
Do they give you deference at work because they know you're our PM team number two fan? Has that opened any doors?
I think there's only one guy at work that knows for sure who I am, and I haven't seen him in a while. So,
well, flex here.
I might have to bring that up.
Continue to remind all the other listeners why you're the number two fan. What do you got?
So I hate the Cowboys. I think when I talked to you guys last week, that was made very clear. But there's a couple things I want to bring up in relation to that. You know, another reason to hate them is their horrible uniforms. I think they've got the most overrated uni in the entire NFL. Their stupid silver pants don't match the silver on their helmets, and they've never fixed it, and they look like idiots out there. So whenever I see one of those lists, I'm a list guy that ranks the greatest uniforms in all of sports, and if they finish anywhere in the top 20, I'm just enraged.
I think they have the same problem with blues. They have blue numbers on their uniform that don't match the blue and the star on the helmet.
Hold on. That's very true.
I thought the pants were blue. Sometimes the pants look blue when they wear them.
No, they're silver.
No, they're supposed
with the blue
to be
line.
Silver, and they're too cheap to change it. Anyways, the other thing I want to bring up, too, is you guys were talking about horrible front runners who are Cowboys fans that maybe grew up in this area or whatever. I knew a guy back in Ohio. He was one of my ex-wife's managers that was a Cowboys fan, a Lakers fan, a Yankees fan, and a Penguins fan. And as a Penguins fan, I found that completely
that had to
offensive.
Be well, that had to make you feel no, but that had to make you feel a little uncomfortable that he decided the Penguins were the right team to front run. Because that
it definitely did.
Yeah, because then you got
to
feel seen a little bit.
And any kind of Penguins take you, you're probably like, this guy's a fake fan. F him. I don't care what
right.
he thinks.
Well,
he's
I wanted
probably
to know
my ex-wife.
Well, if it was Jeff's ex-wife.
You know what? I don't think he was, but the guy below him might have been. So that's a whole other story for another time. But you guys need to come up with your own list. Like, if you think of four teams in the four major sports that could top that level of front-runnerism, I want to know what you guys can come up with.
Does Jeff share my optimism for this game?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to bounce back. It's good that they're at home. I could see them winning 24-14. That's what I'll call for
now. All right. There's a rare double-digit win for Mike Tomlin's team. Your chance to chime in. We will pick this game against the spread coming up, but we still want your calls. How you feel about the Cowboys fans? Reportedly, 46% of the stadium will be Cowboys fans on Sunday. What's your take on that? 412-928-9370. Do you have a good feeling about this game? 412-928-9370. As a Steelers fan, do you hate the Cowboys? 412-928-9370. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. A headline, a quick timeout, and we're right back on The Fan.